Hey, do you like the Star Wars? Well, you just keep coming back to the right place if you're coming to the Rancor Pit. I'm Cole, Jedi Cole Houston, and of course, with me enthusiastically is.
Yes! Is Eddie Medina MMILFer?
Yes, he is. He is the originator of the MMILF, the Mon Mothma. I'd like to. Okay, well,
Yeah,
yes. What?
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 No, this is not Rancor.
Mon Mothma, I'd like to
Although,
friend on Facebook.
that's it. Although this could turn into Rancor Pit After Dark because of our guests tonight.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
The one, the only, Andrew Farmer.
Hi guys. I don't know what that means. I'm here in a very serious, studious capacity tonight to talk about all things Star Wars. I won't debase myself to talk about the fact that I've already had Mon Mothma. What?
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 Oh yeah. Yeah, in fact I was coming out with Star Wars.
Who hasn't had Mon
Yeah, I was coming out with like Star Wars dozens, you know? It's like you want to play the Star Wars dozens? Well, Star Wars dozens is a game, but the way I well, no. Anyway.
Don't freestyle rap, Cole. We've been over
Wait, Mon Mothma
this.
is a shame. Anyway, that's with apologies to George Carlin for stealing his dozens joke.
And apologies to Guinevere O'Reilly, who I'm sure is a lovely woman. Not at all, though.
Yeah, who we've completely
The slut at Mon Mothma on screen.
and also apologies to
Saying.
George Lucas, the Star Wars fans everywhere, Mon Mothma cosplayers, and Mon Mothma's Mon Mama.
Damn it.
Wow.
And also to Toho Pictures, in case there was any allusion to Mothra.
Mon Mothra? That needs to be a cosplay mashup. Mon
Oh
Mothra.
yeah, I feel like what are you supposed to be Dr. Girlfriend? No, it's Mon
Wow.
Mothma.
So anyway.
Anyway, yes, you came here to talk about or to hear about. We're here to talk about the Star Wars, specifically the Rogue One.
Yeah. A Star Wars story.
Star Wars story. That's why you are listening today to part two of Rogue Gallery, a
Yeah.
Rancor Pit story. It's on the banner.
Hold on, is it?
It was on the banner, yes, indeed.
Is it coincidental at all that we're doing Rogue One, a Rancor Pit story, and y'all just got done doing Roguish Gallery
I
over
know.
at
Isn't
Hey Kids
that
Comics?
bizarre that Roguish Eyes was done on the Hey Kids comics? So it seemed only natural to bring one of the best rogues I know. My Rogue One, Andrew Farmer on the
Wow, that was the ro most romantic thing you've ever said to me, man.
show. Well, it
And
occurred
that's
to me.
saying a lot. That is saying a lot.
Yeah, it occurred to me I don't send you flowers anymore.
You don't. You don't. You know who I send flowers to? Mon Mothma. What?
Oh,
What? All
blammo!
night, son.
So, needless to say, other than Mon Mothma appearing in Rogue One, and if you're wondering what we're on about with Mon
Can I
Mothma,
just say, if this rebel freighter is a rockin' a donkey
oh,
monocle? That's
wow.
right. If this holographic table is a rockin', Admiral Akbar needs to avert his eyes.
That's right.
Oh, if only these Bothans could talk.
I can't unsee that. Oh,
I always bring the Nub in, though. Like, he's my third. Like, you know
Oh
how you have, like, a
yes.
second with the
Well,
eagle?
I mean, really, he is Lando's wingman.
Well, yeah.
And
Well, I
let me
mean,
tell
come
you,
on.
you're Lando's wingman. Miss second choice, Miss not the nines and the eights. Not too bad, you know.
No.
I mean, with lips like those, don't we all want him as our wingman?
That's the
He's born
truth.
with it.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Judge Ito guy. What?
Well, I mean, you did notice that in the Rebel briefing, he had all those hourglasses.
Filled with Tatooine sand, of course.
Of course.
Gets into every crevasse.
It does.
Well, we were talking about Anakin Sandy
Squatting pile to hide
Crock.
their numbers.
We were
That's
talking about
true.
Anakin Sandy Crock. Sandy Crack on the
Sandy Crock. It's Sandy Crockpit. Crockpit? Crockpot. Whatever. My gosh. What is
wrong with this? We have lost command of the language.
I come on a show and it just dissolves.
I know. It's
the fact that a podcast you need to speak well, we're like just all over the place in like crock pits, crock pots, and Sandy Crevices, Crackuses, and but anyway.
Release the Sandy Kraken.
Release the crockpot.
So we were here to talk about Rogue One coming up. Unlike Episode 7, I haven't heard a lot of buzz, a lot of fan theories. I haven't seen like Yahoo clickbait. This fan theory about Rogue One will destroy you. You know, yeah. I why are we not seeing that for this? Is it because it's technically a prequel? Or in my case, when I saw the first trailer, a squeakquel.
That's because no one knows who these characters are. Force Awakens, we were guessing at everything because we knew their stories. I mean, you know, half the character stories.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, apart from Mon Mothma, Darth Vader, of course. And, of course, I think really the only thing I'm ever seeing is somebody was, and this is not going to be one of those things that may or may not be a spoiler, but somebody was speculating somewhere online, oh, maybe it's Darth Vader in the Bacta tank when it was finally officially said, yeah. No, it's not the Emperor. It's not a clone Emperor. Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously, Cole, you're not looking in the same places that I'm hearing, because I'm hearing all kinds of speculation about this movie.
Obviously, you spend more time in the right places than I do.
I spend time in the dregs of the internet is where I spend my time, sir.
Pornhub had nothing about Star Wars.
Don't talk about the videos that I post to Pornhub, Cole. No, like, the one that I hear the most is that... The one that I hear the most is that Snoke is going to be in this.
Okay, I have heard that. I've heard that fan theory, which I think is ridiculous. But what do you – okay, so what have you heard, Andy?
Well, I that's it, because people are stupid. Well, okay. Snoke's going to be in this. Snoke's going to – you wait. Well, you watch. He's in the back of the tank. He's
– Yeah, but here's the reason why, because they took the fact that they say in – they reference, in, I guess, in Force Awakens, where Snoke was there at the beginning of the formation of the Empire. So it's obvious they're trying to establish the fact that Snoke has been around for a while, probably as a player in the background, you know, not at the forefront. And so now they're saying they're trying to work in Snoke into the story. And this is where it gets really crazy, that's going to eventually lead into bring in Thrawn into the movies, because the theory is Snoke prior to Force Awakens was out on the Outer Rim working for the Empire and overseeing Grand Admiral Thrawn. It gets all sorts of really crazy.
Oh, it's like any of those things.
Up with this.
Well, the thing that is, when the theorists get going,
yeah,
it's like a quilting bee. And everybody's putting their own little square in there.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
it. Pretty soon it just becomes this literally like a crazy quilt of ideas. And like, there's no coherent anything to this.
Well, it's like,
how many characters can you layer in? And then Boba Fett. And then like, no, shut up. Boba Fett does not belong in this movie. Snoke, frankly, I would give you Snoke if you just sort of, you know, have a character that's hovering around somewhere. And then you maybe just make allusions to the idea of it being Snoke. But even then, the Empire is massive.
Exactly.
And the chances of encountering every single player. I mean, that's one of the things we talked about on the show. I love the fact that you're seeing – normally I'd be upset with something that's like takes place in a time period you've already seen. It's like, oh, here's my version of Stormtroopers. But there's proper Stormtroopers.
Right.
And – I'm willing to accept the beach troopers and the death troopers and stuff, because these are specialists who we've not encountered before, because you don't need death troopers on Tatooine. You don't need death troopers getting monkey-wrenched by Ewoks.
And death troopers were busy elsewhere. You didn't need shore troopers until now because of the type of planet they're fighting on. So that lends itself to having a shore trooper.
The shore troopers were wasted on Tatooine.
They really were.
My sincerest hope for this movie is that any character that we see that we know is played extremely tertiary. Like, we don't, like, yeah, Darth Vader's going to be in it, but I really hope that he's not a major player. I hope that, you know, that Bail Organa's not a major player. We know that Mon Mothma's never a real
Jimmy Smits.
Jimmy Smits. I really, you know that, that Mon Mothma's never a major player unless, you know, never mind.
I'm going to go on record. Mon Mothma is a major player.
But I hope that we get a whole bunch of characters that we've never met before, as opposed to a whole bunch of other characters that we've never met before. And we get we get this outside view of what's going on. I think that's cool. You know, we've always said, we got this big giant universe, but we never focus on anything but like seven people.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, also, you know, I'll give you Vader, because Vader has the part. He has. You're welcome. Would you like anything else right here? you're up. Yes. So, but you know, Vader has an apartment on the Death Star. He's got like a whole suite. He's got to. He's there all the damn time. And So I'll give you Vader because he's got a connection to the Death Star. I will give you Bail Organa because somebody's got like, have you met my daughter? And here, can you take this, these secret plans? And then he gets blasted or something.
Right.
Daddy! And then, you know, no, leave me. Run away with the plans.
I really want, you said Vader's going to be there because Vader has a suite, right? Like, I get that. Like, he has a floor.
Yeah, he's got he's got a rumpus room. He's got like a private elevator.
Please, God, let him be the boss hog of this movie.
Darth Vader, what? Boss hog.
Think about it. Like, yeah. Go get him.
Get those pesky rebels before I have an aneurysm. a land speeder jump, and it stops. And then Waylon Jennings comes on. Looks like the
Look like them rebel boys is up to no good again. Like, yes,
you've already seen you're onto something there because you've already seen in the trailer and in the demo reel the allusion to the Dukes of Hazzard, where the guy, instead of having a dynamite on an arrow, has his little bazooka.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea. And you know, meanwhile, up there in the AT-AT, Enos is like, oh, look at them.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I want it to be that kind of movie. Like, it's already going to be like a Dirty Dozen, you know, Great Escape movie, which I'm great, perfect, bring it.
So it needs to essentially be all of those things plus Moonrunners.
All of those things plus, what was, damn it, I just lost the show, Colonel Klink.
Hogan's Heroes?
It needs to be Hogan's Heroes.
It sure as heck does need to be that.
So you just need to have, like, some stormtrooper who knows nothing!
Right, exactly.
And is easily tempted by foodstuffs.
I'm telling you, we could write this movie. We could get this movie better than it's going to be.
You know, he's like the worst death trooper ever. Like, blind eye. Look, I don't want to be bothered.
You guys are going to be a great help to me.
Because but also, one thing I do want in this movie is a shore trooper where, you know, when he's like, oh, yes, sir, that he sounds like Shipwreck from G.I. Joe.
complete with a parrot on his shoulder.
Yeah, really. But like a Star Wars parrot, like a space parrot.
Space parrots? What? I swear we have started
hashtag
space Bigfoot and then space Yeti. Now we have we started referencing space Bigfoot and space Yeti, and then like the hashtags start popping up with them calling it space monkey. I'm thinking they stole that from us. Yeah. They took our Yeti and tried to one up us.
Let the space monkey win.
Nice. Let the space monkey.
But all that aside, Which, you know, I don't even want to see this movie.
By the way, y'all are racist.
I want to see our movie now.
The Hazard.
Yeah, I want to see the... I want to see the Lukes of Hazard.
Well, damn it. Damn it.
Han and Luke Duke.
I'm hanging up now. This show's over for me. I'm...
No, it'd be like Luke Luke. It'd be like Mario Brothers.
And, so, and Uncle Jesse could totally be painted green with ears, and he could just be the Yoda of the group.
That's so true.
You just said Uncle Jesse, and I jumped to Full House. Like,
oh,
imagine
wow.
John Stamos, like, in a rep pilot's outfit, like, turned around, everywhere you look, and he turns and faces the camera, that smile, he's like on the stairs on the way up to an X-Wing, oh, and he turns God. And looks at the camera. Somebody, Eddie, draw that. I want that.
Can I'm you, doing that, and I'm doing Bob Saget as Jar Jar Binks.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Joey as Mon Mothma, don't read into it, just do yeah. it.
Okay, not even Lori Loughlin, just
oh,
straight up
oh.
Uncle Joey.
Oh, especially Lori Loughlin.
Meanwhile,
as Lori
these
Loughlin.
Are these will be some funny videos.
Oh God, I just threw up in my mouth.
Hey, it's Naboo's funniest home video.
Somebody,
what
somebody
is happening?
Hire us to write y'all's bits.
What is happening on this show right now? I don't even know.
I think this is now proof. This is proof of concept that none of this is scripted.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well, when I come on, or when Eddie comes on, Hey Kids Comics, we say that Cole has to drive because Eddie and I are like the two brothers in the back seat. Now Cole is constantly like, "Well, I will turn this car around." I don't know what's. I think all three of us. Nobody's driving.
Yeah, nobody's just driving.
The back seat fight.
We're all in the back seat. No one's at the driver.
It's like force take the wheel. Hashtag sacrilege. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
One.
What is happening here?
So let's talk a little bit about characters, because
should we really?
I'm trying desperately to have some sort of foothold on the, you know, tap the brake or something. We shouldn't bother, but you know, I was talking with the live show. I had to like write down minutes before the show from my cell phone the name of all the principal characters, and it occurred to me tonight that there was a time we didn't know who anybody in Star Wars was, but at the same time, going into like say the original Star Wars, we didn't know,
right?
Yeah,
because it wasn't all thrown out in front of us. We just kind of like went to go see some movie that we heard good things about, and now we're like, plus, we're hitting the point where there's sort of a brain saturation in Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
I mean, at the point where I had to commit to memory the names of every Jabba's palace and cantina creature.
No, you didn't have to.
No,
you
I
chose
yeah,
to.
I had
you chose
to. No, it's a compulsion. But
if you drop some matches around Cole, he'll have to count them as he picks them up. That's how you get away from Cole.
That's right. That vampire kid from Mighty Ducks and X-Files.
I thought you could say Twilight.
Oh, ouch. So, but I'm really still struggling trying to commit these names to memory, because this is literally, there's a game that they play sometimes on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on public radio called, was it like NPR... Star Wars or NPR?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And we'll read a name, and you have to tell if it's an NPR correspondent or a Star Wars character.
What? This
yeah,
is real?
It's, yeah,
this is
it's
real.
Funny.
Because if you listen to much public radio, you soon discover that most correspondents for public radio sound like Star Wars characters. And this... The list of characters, Jen Erso, Cassian Andor... Chirrut Imwe, Baze Malbus, Saw Gerrera, Orson Krennic, they all sound like, you know, this is Orson Krennic from Prague.
Right, they do. Like, this is Saw Gerrera from Leeds. BBC One News. It's like, what?
What the hell?
Wow.
We're going to have a field day with this movie because all of the characters. This is a senior political correspondent Mon Mothma. Oh, well, we all know what you're up to.
That's right.
Close them legs, lady. Close them legs.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, wow. What's that smell? Is that Admiral Akbar?
Oh! That's not a Mon Calamari.
No, it's a Mon Mothma. What?
Oh, that's horrible.
Do we have any jasmine?
I don't even have cheap wine to blame it on this time.
It's sad. I never do. That's the real frightening thing. But interesting characters, unusual names, I think. And even K2SO.
S-O. S-O. Yes. Not 5-0 like we were saying on the live show.
It's the... Da, 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 da. It's K250. They even K2SO sounds like an NPR correspondent.
Right.
Senior foreign desk correspondent, K2SO. That got really bad really quick.
Just said like Newt Gunray or something.
No, I was going to say it. Just like all of a sudden, it digressed into Hop Sing.
So is Hop Sing in this in Rogue One?
I don't know.
If we're talking about questions, I or characters, I have a question.
Yeah.
So this takes place between Jedi, or no? But this takes place before New Hope, right?
Yes.
How far?
That was a subject of speculation because we're far enough along where it looks like they've just finished up the last touches on the Death Star.
Yeah, they're dropping the giant reflector ray.
Yeah, if you look real closely, you can see a guy who's like the little things where there was some paint chipped or something. He has to go back in, kind of do a little overcoat.
Right.
Yeah.
He's there. He's a little tiny, but you can see him. So we're talking about dangerously close. The real question is how long before or how long after characters of Rogue One get their hands on the plans, how long does it take the Empire's sinister agents to pursue Princess Leia?
Right. How long does it take them to get on that Corellian cruiser or whatever it is? Yeah. Right.
And so, you know, was that a protracted search? Was it one of these sort of like, you know, Law and Order things? We had to sit there the whole hour to figure it all out? Or, you know, did they just kind of like, oh, well, hey, let's chase them down.
So does that make Cassian Andor Poe Dameron's hot grandfather or hot great-grandfather? Because look at him. I'm sorry, but look at him side by side. Meow. That's all I'm saying.
I think you that could be or
that's what's happening. I'm putting fake spoilers out. I'm peppering this show with fake spoilers.
I would say grandfather.
Okay, that's about the time we're looking at. All right.
So we're talking C A I L F, right?
Interesting enough, Cassian Andor is his grandfather, but I think you just I had a realization when you pointed that out. Because I'm putting characters side by side and everything. If I put Cassian Andor and overlay him, literally, with Mon Mothma, I'm looking at,
You're looking at Poe, aren't you?
I'm looking at Poe's mom coming out of that union.
So Cassian is like the recruiter, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm trying to build. I literally know. I'm telling you guys, I know what's in the trailer, and that's it. Like, I've done research.
That's pretty much what I know.
I mean, apart from that one guy online saying that it must be Vader in the back of tank, so maybe he's had a big battle that's made him worse. Like, he's already worse. He probably has to bathe in the back of tank 3 times a day just to keep the stench off.
I know.
I mean, look at him. He's a little gamey after they pick him up on Mustafar.
Right? Like, he's more than a little gamey, dude.
He's like that roast that Thor has.
He's jerky practically. He's got.
I know.
You got to fight the Sasquatch off of him from eating him.
All the space Bigfoots.
That's nice.
I'm sorry.
That's good.
I'm sorry. That's right. Space Bigfoot.
That's good.
So basically, what Vader does to hone his force skills is go out in the woods and mess with Sasquatch.
I never knew that Harry and the Hendersons was a sidequel to Revenge of the Sith.
Sidequel. Now you know.
Well, like, all I know is that if
like
man.
Kids, and we have a cough, dog. And mom and dad would get us drunk on Sidequel.
Sidequel?
Well, that's Bill Cosby's favorite, you know.
Oh, wow.
Well, I've also.
No, that's a little on the Sidequel.
I've seen the Bill Cosby's in this.
Different formulation, much stronger.
What was that, Andy?
Well, not that I just said I've seen the Bill Cosby's in Rogue One, but, you know, that's might. I'm not saying it's a rumor. It just might be a rumor. No, I know that Ip Man and Ghost Dog are in this. I know that Wash is in it, but I don't know, like, I know that, you know, Hannibal's in it. Like, this is what I know. Like, I've just seen the prequel. Like,
who's Hannibal?
Mads Mikkelsen. Mikkelsen.
Oh, okay. That's where he's known for. Okay, gotcha.
Well, he's known. He's also in the Doctor Strange movie that's coming out. He's the bad guy in that. He's having a good year. That guy's having a good year.
Yes, he is.
Now, I'm excited about Ben Mendelsohn. Is that how you say his name? I'm excited about him being like the big baddie. I'm assuming he's going to be one of the, if not the big baddie in the show, Orson Krennic.
Yeah, directly.
Yeah. I mean, I knew him from, I mean, I think all of us know him from The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, what was that? Oh, Bloodline. You know, him being in if you haven't seen him in Bloodline on the Netflix.
On the Netflix.
Do you like
on the Netflix. Then definitely check it out. That's a great series, and man, he's phenomenal as an actor. So I'm really excited.
Even from what little I've seen, he just has this wonderful screen presence.
Well, what's cool about it, and I'm hoping this is the case, and they're not just tricking us by throwing in these few seconds in the trailer.
Yeah,
it looks like he's the type of character that is not afraid to get down and dirty.
Yeah,
like, show him down on the planet. They show him he's got a mission.
Yeah, because he's got like he's got the rarely issued Mr. Clean outfit. And Mr. Muscle, if you're from the UK.
That's the Grand Admiral concept.
Yeah. Very few. Rolf Ullerin at the Death Star briefing had the tidy whiteys.
Tidy whiteys.
But he's like, yeah, dragging his cape in the surf.
Yeah, it's
See
obvious.
Saltwater does to these textiles.
Right.
Well, I think the really cool thing, and to speak to that, is I think the really cool thing about this movie is it's going to be a lot more intimate than some of the other Star Wars movies have been, in the sense that you have that heist movie, like he's the guy that is the insurance guy or the guy that works in, if you want to equate it to, you know, an Ocean's 11, or he's the Andy Garcia of Ocean, you know, he's the guy that owns so you get this like real, like he's the guy that gets the frustrated guy that at every
there is a casino floor on the Death Star,
right? He's the pit boss, and they're robbing him. So I like the idea that after you get all of the crazy that we see in the trailer with, you know, villages being destroyed and all of that, eventually it's going to get scaled down to, you know, a contortionist in a box getting rolled into somewhere and locked in a safe where he gets out and that's the stuff I'm looking forward to.
Did you just reference the Yogi Kudu from That's Incredible?
No.
I think you're thinking of Maharishi Mahashiyogi from That's Incredible. Or no, okay. No, Maharishi Mahashiyogi was on Real People.
Real People. I'm talking about the Yogi Kudu.
Oh, yes. Yogi Kudu was on the also had his own line of candy bars.
That's the part that I think is going to be super cool, is bringing together this disparate group of people.
Yeah.
For their individual talents, Yeah, exactly. Almost like a Space Marines and Aliens type of thing, where everybody has the distinct personality, and everybody gets a chance to shine, and nobody is like, oh, look, I'm the chosen one. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lightsaber, and I was
Yeah, nobody's coming to the forefront and being the sole main hero. And, of course, Baze Malbus is going to be the one going, game over, man!
Right.
That's as. For those of you unfamiliar, that's the guy that carries the vacuum cleaner. He's got one of those backpack vacuum cleaners.
Oh, the Ghostbuster.
The Ghostbuster, yes. Why did I
okay, he's the Ghostbuster.
He's the Ghostbuster. So I guess that does answer the question who you'd call in a situation like this in case of any paranormal encounters on the new Death Star.
But, I mean, you get that idea that it's like, you know, that not only is it like a great escape or, you know, a war movie like that, but it's also got that element of what's the one they're remaking right now with Denzel? The Western.
Magnificent
Seven.
Yeah, the Magnificent Seven, where you get like the weird, you know, Ronin samurai. You've got the grizzled war hero. You've got the young, brash, you know.
Yeah, it very much is taking from that. But like you say, from things like Ocean's 11, it's combining a lot of things because there's something so much bigger. You're not having to do a lot of convincing to tell people, you know, they're going to make a weapon that'll destroy entire planets full of entire populations of people simultaneously. You don't really have to do a lot of pushing to get people behind that.
And the other cool thing is you don't have to sell it to the audience.
Yes.
Because you don't have to over-explain the Death Star, because Death Star is in the common lexicon.
Yeah, you just want to bring Marvin the Android in, like, what do you not understand? Death Star.
Right. But, you know, everybody knows that the Death Star has been prominently featured in two movies now. Two of the most known movies of all time. You don't have to over-explain. They're not developing. It's not James Bond. You don't have to get a...
Yeah, you don't have to, like, have a big briefing to explain what a Death Star is.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a giant laser I'm going to put on the moon.
Yeah, it would be just as pointless as having yet another Spider-Man origin movie. Like, we all know.
Yeah.
We all get it.
Yeah, every man.
Woohoo, Uncle Ben died. Yeah. You know.
We also... But, what was that, Eddie?
What?
You followed Uncle Ben dies with, You're like, Uncle Ben dies,
No, that was Cole.
Oh.
I've seen it.
Whenever I bring up Uncle Ben, Cole just gets like indigestion.
The rice doesn't sit well with him.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd pick that up.
It's that glutinous rice that just
the glutinous rice.
Hey, I'll have you know that in Red Hook, I danced under the name Glutinous Rice. Thank you very much. That's
I could see you getting away with that, doing some sort of like Michael Flatley type of dancing under Glutinous Rice.
For me, though, the other cool thing is we know that they fail, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, we got this whole movie leading up to the point where the Death Star destroys Alderaan.
Yeah.
It's like, shit.
And we have to imagine that's not, even though they call it the sort of maiden voyage, even though Tarkin proudly says it's the first target, you've got to imagine they took pot shots at the odd moon and the odd planet that pissed them off on the way there.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
To me, I always saw that.
Something, because they're not going to be all grandiose in front of Princess Leia, and then, you know, the thing just kind of peters out and doesn't.
Yeah, and then she said, oh, it's okay. It happens to a lot of space stations. Rancor Pit after dark.
Okay, Tarkin is kind of up there in age and all.
So. Oh, you know, he's like, yeah.
And if you're to believe the Mon Mothma stories, you know, that what she said. Yeah.
She's a whole lot of Mothma, let me tell you.
Damn it.
I was going to go somewhere, but I'm not going to go there.
Why not? Everybody else did.
Oh.
Again, hashtag Rancor Pit After Dark.
Oh, man.
Oh, my.
But yeah, you've got a good point because there's so many genres that this takes from. And I think that's why this feels like such a Star Wars film.
Right.
Because it's drawing from so many cultural sources, so many modern cultural sources, in the way that Star Wars did. And we didn't know it, but we knew it. And now we're, of course, more aware of those connections because the same in the original Star Wars has been beaten into us.
It's also Rocky. You brought up the fact that we know it's going to end in failure. You know, it's Rocky in Rocky One where he loses, but yet it's an amazing movie, but he loses. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, and that's you have that thing in Return of the Jedi where they're asking Vader about Luke. Like, Luke who? Lord Vader, what is your prediction? My prediction. Pain. So it's effectively becomes Rocky III.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if Vader's just like when they're building the Death Star, I wonder if he's just like, God, can Luke just show up? This is so boring. I know he's where is he?
If we got some action on this place, like if rebels attacked us and there was some impending concern that they could blow the whole thing up, and instead of just like, you know, sending out 6,000 of our TIE fighters, we send out 9.
Yeah.
You know, I think you could overwhelm that rebel force pretty pronto if they use the full complement of, well, sorry, we kind of took the engines out of most of them because we didn't think we'd need them. It's really here for show. You'd be surprised what you could pull past the Emperor.
You're right. Exactly.
Look at those at the back. It's just a painting.
It's the back lot at Universal Studios.
Most of them from behind are just cardboard.
Yeah.
So do you guys
think... It's like plate saddles.
God rest his soul. Gene Wilder. Do you guys think that... I'm asking because you guys are the professionals here. You guys are the Star Wars professionals here. I'm a hangers-on. That there'll be any reference to
here.
Because if this movie's coming out right, you know, if there could be a scene in the movie where the Death Star plans are handed off to Leia at the end, which feasibly there could be.
Yeah,
right?
Especially with Bail Organa involved, it's like, oh, you know what? Who's suspecting my daughter? Here you go, honey.
Exactly. That's gonna take a. Yeah, that's going to take a lot of CGI on Carrie Fisher's part.
But
well, I mean, look what they did to Schwarzenegger with Terminator Genesis. They've had enough years to really develop the hell out of that software.
But do you think that there'll be any reference to Luke if Vader's in it? Like, do you think there'll be any reference to trying to find?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because there's no never
that would be shoehorning that story into this story.
Plus, there's no precedent for it. There's no point in the saga where anybody's on the radar for Luke doesn't get raised till after the first Death Star is blowed up. Nobody's even thinking about looking for Luke. Hell, they're not even thinking about looking for Leia in the context that they're later looking for Luke. And even then, they're not looking for Leia in that context.
See, but
go off and brain give her away to Vader by like seizing up there. Like,
To get too conspiracy-y about this, right? Not to get too like down the rabbit hole. But I could foresee, because it's a movie and because they're trying to tie back, I could foresee if this is supposedly happening at a similar time span as the plans are at the beginning of New Hope, the plans are, you know, Vader finds the plans. I could feasibly foresee something being shoehorned into this where Vader's like, there's been a disturbance, or, you know, he just looks off into the distance. Like,
yeah, but the thing about it is, Vader comes on board Leia's Vader comes on board Leia's ship.
Yeah, he does.
Like, you know.
Well, he does. He absolutely does.
You're seeing it.
Don't talk about Star Wars. He absolutely does. Don't get mine out of the gutter.
Yeah,
yep.
You know, just because there was part of them that wasn't burned up. But anyway,
get on that ship.
That's right.
And there's your
soundbite
right there.
That's why he's like, when he's coming to the door, he's like, I'd hit that. So anyway, Vader is there 700 miles above his arch nemesis. And he's clueless. Meanwhile, down on Tatooine, Obi-Wan's hanging around doing nothing as always, just staring at the four walls. And he starts to feel kind of tingly, and he walks out, and he's like looking up. I'm like, So he's just out there like thumbing his nose because he knows Vader's up there, and Vader has no clue.
Right.
There's a guy that lives on Tatooine, the very planet that they're above, that has the same last name before he got all princey and changed his name. It was first
Princey.
It was originally Snoop
the
Vader.
The Sith Lord, formerly known as Anakin.
Yeah, it was originally Snoop Vader, and they changed it to Darth Vader, and then there was like a symbol thing that nobody got, and then he went back to Darth Vader.
Did you say Snoop Vader?
Snoop Vader. Vader.
Gosh.
So, you know, there is no precedent because Luke wasn't even a thought. As far as Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader knew, his kids and his wife were dead. Apparently, it never occurred to anybody to order an Imperial autopsy of Padme.
That's true. I mean, he also had a lot on his mind, what with the unbearable, unendurable, searing pain of getting half of your body destroyed and all. So I'm imagining that might have something to do with it, too.
Well, that and the fact that, you know, when he finally got him back, you know, the first time he wakes up in the armor and asks about his wife, finds out she's dead. And then after, you know, they go and they take wheel him out in front of the Death Star, like I said on the live show with that guy in the Tarkin mask. And then he goes back to his quarters, and he's like, you know, what I could really use is a shower. You know, they assured him the metal stuff's waterproof. Go right ahead. And he goes in there, and what's sitting on the soap dish? Lava.
Oh, see, that's not cool.
Yeah. No wonder. It just – all everything else just slipped his mind. Because the last thing, when your body is burned from, well, head to nubs – the last thing in the world you want is pumice-y soap. That's all I'm going to leave that there.
Gosh. Pumice-y
when you have intact skin, the last thing in the world you want is pumice-y soap. I don't know how lava is a thing, how lava soap was ever an idea.
Is that even still around?
I
doubt it.
No, Eddie, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Is it really? I mean, I'm not talking about like Amir's dollar store where they're importing it from a different. I'm talking about like legit.
There's like proper American lava soap. It's right there next to the Stanley brand sandpaper soap.
Right?
It's just like an even manlier. I mean, it's like using a sandblaster as a bidet or something. It's just, it's awful. But, no, but the thing about it is there is absolutely no.
They absolutely still make lava soap.
He didn't believe us. He absolutely didn't believe us and went and checked.
There's even a lavasoap.com.
Oh, I thought maybe you checked it.
I guess it's used like in the more industrial areas because you ordered from New Line.
Yeah.
New Line.
I thought maybe you checked the Walgreens website. If you saw the live show, you'll get
that. Because, like, on the live show, not everyone thinks of Walgreens when they think of makeup.
Eddie called me down for mentioning that Rouge One was the makeup line available at Walgreens.
And I was like, who thinks of Walgreens when they think of makeup?
Makeup. That's who.
You're obviously not married to Colleen.
Eddie's familiarity with the Lancome counter at Sanger Harris.
Thank you.
Is Sanger Harris even around you?
I don't think it is. I was going to say, is this like the Shining moment where Colt turns around and looks at a picture of Eddie from 1950 with a group of guys and duxes and it just...
Yes, it's basically... Okay, Joskies.
Yeah, that's what? The crowd.
Oh my gosh. Now, that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Nice. Way to pull it back in.
You're well played.
So what do we know about this movie? Do we know
Josh,
about this movie?
Have we even talked about Rogue One?
Oh, that's right. We are talking about Rogue One.
But
Okay. So we're talking about the character.
Though, is it feels like Star Wars. We talked about K2SO looking like a Star Wars droid. There are invocations of droids we've already seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like if you went and saw a movie that took place in the 50s and people were driving cars that didn't look like they were from the 50s, your brain would start hurting.
Right.
Am I
the only one that thinks K2SO looks like a smaller version of the Iron Giant?
He does a little. It's that gangly long-leggedness.
The long-legged, the simplified face.
Well, by scale, he's the Iron Brownie.
Damn it.
Thank goodness you said brownie for a second. I thought you said brown eye.
Oh, come on, Kevin Smith.
That's my Iron Brown Eye is my favorite Iron Man suit. Specialized Iron Man suit.
That was for the Armor Wars, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. It was. I think the unicorn stole it.
Oh, he did.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Can we talk about the creatures of Rogue One?
Oh, can't we ever. I love... We talk about it as much as we wanted to.
I know we talked about, you know, Space Yeti on the live show, but we could talk about it again if you want. But how cool are, not just Rogue One, but Force Awakens, how cool is it just to have these practical effect costumes, these creatures, these new... That's what I love about this movie. They're going to new species we haven't seen yet. These are all new types of characters. But when we do get a Mon Calamari, it's a different color and a different size. Like, he's a little chubbier. He's like the George Lucas goiter version of the Mon Calamari.
Oh, you know, I had not realized that was such a blatant jab at George Lucas.
Yeah.
Because he's got like the frog throat going on.
That is totally the George Lucas Akbar.
That's so wrong.
No.
That's so wrong.
I'm going to make American graffiti.
It's like, somebody get me some potassium. So, yeah, I like the, especially just mad cackling Bat Boy there at the gun fort. That
Biston, however you're going to say it, Warwick Davis's character.
Well, no one... walks like Biston. No one talks like Biston.
No. No. No.
It's Disney! What?
It hurts what? Me on the inside so bad that I don't even know what to do.
I thought we were just finally getting back on topic.
No, leave it to me to derail the thing. But there's another guy that's like wearing a knee numb cap, and he's got like just this giant mouth.
Yeah, that's the other
critter character.
That's his. That's his sidekick. That's Pao. Pao.
Yeah, Pao or whatever.
Not,
yeah,
Pao. Panko, like on the
Kung Pao.
Kung Pao. Okay.
Kung Pao. God.
I guess they were known early on as Big Mouth and Laughing Boy or something like that. Now we know
that would be the vintage names for
it, right. It they
totally
print them on cards.
Oh my gosh, it totally would. They would be, yeah, Hammerhead and Squidhead. Of
my god, can I get this picture? I need to try to get this picture for you guys. If anybody out there is listening and they're doing any research on this. I implore you to just search for the space monkey. I'm gonna throw this to you guys. I'm gonna let you guys comment on it because it's perfect. There, I posted it to you guys. But there is a direct line drawn between an actor and the space monkey that I can't imagine being any possible way better.
Okay, I'm pulling it up.
I'm anxiously awaiting seeing this. In the meantime, I'm going to put this up.
Oh my
God. I'm going to put this up on
the most.
Oh, wow. It's so true.
This is the most brilliant.
The gap in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And the eyebrows.
Yes.
Freaking eyebrows.
If you ever run across a space monkey and you're Kurt Russell and he's driving a taxi and he's trying to get you out of New York.
Who is this?
Oh, this is brilliant.
Resnickan. You're a genius, sir, whoever you are.
We have to contact Anthony Resnickan on Twitter.
My. Okay. For the ones at home who aren't looking this up, somebody explain to them what we're looking at. Andy, you do it that you found
it's a stock
it.
Photo.
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, jeez. There's a stock photo of what do we call it? What was his name in the actual Star Wars universe? It was Pow and
No, the stand.
Kung and Pow.
It was Kung. Yes, it was Kung, and it was no. It's not the space monkey.
Baston or whatever.
Okay, yeah, Gaston, Baston, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And this guy, Anthony Bresnikan, at Bresnikan on Twitter, put a side by side with Ernest Borgnine together with that stock picture and literally looks dead on. Like, I can't imagine that it was. Now I believe that the space monkey was based on Earth. I can't believe anything.
And his comment is right.
Just right.
That's what sells it. That's what
you don't need anything else.
Because it's so simple, right?
Yeah, it's like in the same way you don't need another Spider-Man origin story. You don't need anything more than that.
Oh, that's your origin story. He's a long time ago, before there was an Ernest Borgnine, there was a space monkey that eventually became Ernest Borgnine. That's the DNA structure that built us all, I think, is what we're looking at there.
Oh, that is. It's like the first Planet of the Apes or something.
That's right.
This Anthony guy is a senior writer at Entertainment Weekly. He's not just some fanboy posting goofy things. So he's like a legit writer.
Well, or he's a fanboy posting goofy things who happens to be a legit writer.
Right.
I guess sorry, so.
Sorry for the digression, gentlemen. I just thought that
that was amazing.
But speaking of space monkeys, there was a piece of – when we're getting ready for the live show, and I don't think I kept this for the live show, but we'll post it on the post for this one. If you're looking at a piece of art that looks like some sort of pre-production art for Rogue One.
Yeah.
Because there's a droid that's obviously before they settled on a much different look for K2SO, where he has more of a, and it's kind of like a combination of a, it's almost like a Death Star droid modified.
Yeah, I know which one you're
and then about. Like Lady Han.
Right, that's why I was like, it looks so much like Han Solo, but it's a lady.
But the thing is, there's like this big, tall, green. This just colossus of a creature,
yeah,
with a backpack with a little monkey bat guy in it,
yeah,
that looks like he's holding some kind of tools or something.
Uh-huh.
And all I could think of is they probably were working up this sort of character mix, or this was just some sort of basic prototypical ideas, and then all of a sudden here comes James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And then you look at this and you're like, that's Groot and Rocket.
I remember seeing that and thinking that. You were absolutely correct.
Yeah, so you're like...
That even crossed my mind. Wow.
But yeah, just the instant connection will be made. So I can see why they abandoned that design in favor of maybe having them be closer to the same size.
But I hope they make these characters somehow into
figures. Oh, I would love to see something with...
Because that's amazing designs, because I remember seeing this, and I remember the little monkey thing on his back, even though it's the wrong color, and to me it kind of invoked the Hoojibs, the little rabbits that were in the Marvel comic series.
We had an agreement about mentioning the Hoojibs.
Oh, I love the Hoojibs.
I've never voiced that agreement. We've never actually
but I love the Hoojibs, and I remember seeing that production photo thinking, that's like a Hoojib, but, you know, different. But anyways, it's a cool
If you're design. Unfamiliar with the Hoojibs, they are not from Dr. Seuss, but in fact, that's from Dr. Seuss's Star Wars book, Horton Hears a Hoojib. But they are, in fact, from late into the Star Wars comic run at Marvel. And they were – it was sort of like if you thought the Ewoks were too cute, then Marvel brought you the Hoojib, and you're like, okay, not so bad after all.
Yeah, and not to also be confused, the Hoojibs are not to be confused with Daddy Warbucks' manservant, Punjab.
Oh, it's, that's so true.
Yeah, completely different.
Different kind of, because I kept looking for through my old Star Wars comics just now for some big bald guy with earrings.
You know what's really interesting, since we're talking about
the bald guy, but a
set design and the, you know, I want to talk for a second, if we can, about costuming.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Because one of the things that had to be hard. So you've made the movie
just one
now.
Thing is hard.
Well, Mon Mothma. You have
everyone in Mon Mothma's vicinity.
That's right. Right. You have this. Yes, the first movies were made 77 and then on up. So you've kind of this precedent for weird 70s porny facial hair and hairstyle. You know what I mean? And then hairstyles,
yeah, exactly.
Like the feathery hairstyles. So you've set this precedent. You've got to run with it. And then all of a sudden you're doing what is essentially a Star Wars. This is gets really interesting and down the rabbit hole-y, because now you're doing a Star Wars period piece. In the universe that it's in.
Yeah,
that is true. It totally is a period piece.
That is really an observation.
Because you got to go back before. Now you've gone 40 years into the future of the Star Wars franchise, right? Now you're going back to where before it began. So you've got to do a early like a mid 70s thing. So you still have like fighter pilots with like bushy mustaches, and you've got the, you know, like the feathered hair thing on some of the guys.
This is like the Stranger Things version of Star Wars, basically.
Right.
That's so true.
I mean, how cool is that, though? Think about the thing that we love. Exists in its own universe to the point where they have to do a weird Matthew McConaughey Civil War period movie now, or like a Mel Gibson Civil or like Vietnam War era movie based in a universe that has existed for so long that it can now have its own period movies.
Yes, that's
a brilliant observation. Oh my gosh.
But speaking of like the hairstyles, which Forrest Whitaker, is it, I guess, is it the natural Forrest Whitaker or the shaved Forrest Whitaker that makes it on? Frankly, a bit after dark, into the movie, because I've seen versions of.
I think it's both.
Saul Guerrera, where he's has hair or no hair.
There's
and
two
I.
Looks for him in the movie?
Huh?
There's two looks for him in this movie?
Well, the thing is, I think there was something. I thought I had seen something about that might be a product of the reshoots they went back to do. And they had to, like, either give him a really bad, like
the scouring pad head.
Yeah, they had to give him like the screen used Unbreakable wig 30 years later. They just like found it in a trash bin. Uh-huh. Or I think that the bald look may have been replaced because
I think that he has. Like, I think that what we see is when we meet him, if I'm going to speculate, when we meet him, he's a grizzled war veteran living in a village after he's basically retired. After if we're to believe the canon that's coming out of the animated universe, right?
Okay, yeah, so you guys are probably more familiar with that.
So he's since retired from the Clone War era, right? And he's retired to a village, and he's probably let himself go a little bit, you know, a la Swayze and Steel Dawn. And then
you would go with Swayze.
Go with Swayze and Steel Dawn. And then he's brought back into the fold, so he cleans himself up for soldiering, I think.
In a way, yeah, I can see that, because it'd be kind of like that in The Seven Samurai.
Right. Right.
Where the one samurai shaves his head so he can impersonate a monk.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there are two definitive images of him. One where he has kind of
– Yeah, there is. Yeah. Now that I've Googled it, I'm thinking, yeah, the both of them are popping up. And he's wearing the same armor, so they're not from different eras. There's not like it's going to be a flashback or anything.
No. Because
he's wearing the exact same armor.
But I think we get that scene of him, you know, gearing up in the mirror where he's, you know, getting serious and shaving his head and, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's part of the Rocky montage.
It is part of the Rocky, you know, grab a weapon, gotta roll out, like everybody's cleaning, you know, like, take only what you can carry and whatever they're going to do for that.
Well, they got to drop as much extra weight as they can so they can fly better.
Oh,
and that, and
yeah, so they just throw him.
And so the afro, you know, that's about 15 pounds right there. So they had to lose the 15 pounds.
15 pounds of Brillo hair.
Good God. Wow.
Is that considered, like, offensive to anybody?
Yes, that is what we like to call racist where I'm from.
Well, have you seen the hair, dude? It looks like a, like, rusted steel wool. I just...
My God. This became a Joe Rogan podcast somewhere along the line.
Apologies to everyone for my inadvertent racism. I wasn't trying to be racist. I was merely invoking household cleaning products.
Oh my!
So now that I've completely, this will be cut out of the show.
No, please, no! This has got to stay in.
This is Stu Balk level.
No, that was certainly not. Definitely, that was an honest mistake. Where Stu would have gone for it, like,
yeah, he would have owned it and then some.
He would have definitely talked about Forrest Whitaker's eye at some point in this podcast.
Can we talk about the eye? I do not. Someone said pre-show that they sure as heck spent a lot of money in the digital department to fix his Forrest Whitaker eye.
That's me, and I stand by that. ILM, I don't know whether they're going to fix this eye or match the other eye to that eye. I'm really curious to see which direction.
Well, what they do is basically, you know, CG, take one eye, flip it, and put it over the other one.
Really?
Have you ever seen Disclosure? No, Rising Sun, rather.
Rising Sun, enhance it. Turn it 40 degrees. Turn it back. Zoom out. There it is.
Thursday. Oh,
I just think he has a green contact in the whole time. They just went right over it.
You know, Cole, now that you mention it, I think Dickie Beer, when we were talking to him at Infinicon, I think he did that little trick of the trade.
Flipping the eye.
Flipping the eye.
You don't see it much anymore, but they're going back to the practical effects.
There you go.
Back to the old ways. Let's talk real quick before we really have to close this on up about some of the visuals that we've been treated to so far. That if episode 7 was any indication, they're not blowing their wad on this, on what you see in the commercials and
right.
the trailers. So often, you know, you go to a movie and it's like, the prime example that comes to mind, oddly enough, to me is the Simpsons movie, where literally every good joke in the entire film was handed off in the trailers and commercials. And then you go watch the movie, it's like, I've seen 90% of the best jokes.
Yeah, like the movie that just came out, Lights Out. So if anybody wants to see the horror movie Lights Out and you've seen the trailer, you've seen the movie. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, any superhero movie that you've gone to see recently, you've already seen the movie. Like, I felt that way at Civil War, where I went and I was like, I've seen this now. Like,
I've already seen half the film by the time I get it. There were a few surprises, but you're right. But I think that so far, if Disney has remained as shrewd as they were with Episode 7, I didn't feel like I'd already seen absolutely every single best part. So I'm really looking forward to seeing. But, you know, given some of the visuals we've seen, one of the things that the new direction is visuals. I think you're seeing a lot of very visual directors, like the X-Wing. Yeah. Skimming the surface of the water in their very slow, playful way of bothering not to get there for their rescue operation on the part of the Resistance until it was too damn late. but you know, what you're getting here is like the X-Wings with landing lights, you know, flying through the dark, rainy chasms there. The shot of the Star Destroyers in the shadow of the dish being installed.
Well,
striking visuals.
The AT-AT approaching the warriors and they're firing that missile at it. I mean, that's like that shot right there. That's the money shot.
Well, the thing is, it's a great money shot, but it doesn't get video gamey.
And it would not be at all.
But that's, you know, that's the risk you have with a lot of modern directors, is that could have been so video gamey, and I applaud them that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And the Death Star over the planet.
Yes.
Where the dish is oriented, because I love things where people, where you get visuals that understand that there is no up or down in space. It's all relative.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful visual. And they did that in Empire, I believe it was, where the Imperial fleet is arriving. But if you watch very carefully, if you look at the tower of the one that's in the foreground.
Yes.
It's having to right the, it suggests to me anyway, that as the fleet assembles, everybody just sort of rights themselves to one level, you know, established plane that doesn't exist, but it's sort of like, okay, the agreement is we all just kind of line up and make it look like, you know, it feels better visually to us to not.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it was the AT-ATs on the beach. I'm sorry, Eddie. Yeah. I didn't interrupt you.
No, go for it.
The AT-ATs on the beach, because if you talk to any Star Wars before this, right, if you talk to any Star Wars fan, you know, AT-ATs, you bring up a certain mental image in your brain, and that's, you know, that's the ice planet, that's stark white, like, you know, imprints in the snow, that's what you think of. And then all of a sudden in the trailer, AT-ATs, palm trees, sand, AT-ATs, and you're just like, that's amazing.
And shoreline in the background.
Yeah,
and
that's so cool.
Well, as a kid, as a 10-year-old, I was amazed when I saw them put an AT-AT on Endor. It was so brief, but I remember thinking, oh my gosh, so this isn't just...
It's not just for snow.
It's not... Exactly. This isn't like their snow tire vehicle, you know?
Snow tire.
But see, like, the visuals in this, what the visuals are telling me as a viewer is this is literally a Star War. This feels like a war movie.
Yes.
Like, the way they're moving... I mean, okay, look at the tank that we're getting, the Imperial tank.
Right.
Yes.
How cool is that thing?
It's just it, sort it of casually.
Like Wars, but it feels like Star Wars, but it also feels like something that they pulled out of our era and adapted it to a Star Wars movie.
You know why you like it, Eddie? It looks like a modified Hiss tank.
It really
does. That was my first thought, was like, that looks like a Cobra Hiss tank. That is...
Yeah.
But what's also cool about it is the fact that it's just sort of casually cruising down the street, and it's very reminiscent of footage you see of, like, Nazis in Poland.
Yes.
It reminded me of what's the movie I just saw? Fury. Like when the tanks are going through the little town in Fury, I thought, this reminds me of that.
Yeah, very much. And again, like I was saying, it's very Star Wars because it's drawing from so many things. And what I also love is in the tank are your shore trooper type troopers, but it's flanked by regular stormtroopers. Because even on Tatooine, you had sand troopers, but you had regular rank and file stormtroopers.
Well,
even on Endor, you had the biker scouts, but you still had rank and file stormtroopers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what the drivers of the tank aren't even the proper shore troopers, but that's even a different modification of the shore troopers.
Yeah, they're like the beach resort.
Yeah, right.
Security troops.
What we're seeing is the Empire, if you want to compare it to like what we're seeing is the Empire in its prime, waging a war, occupying territory, and then we have like a French resistance situation. That's the whole thing, right? It's like we've got this band of resistance fighters that's come together to infiltrate and get this, you know, this Enigma machine or this whatever it might be from behind enemy lines. So we are literally seeing that war movie, and that is so cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's very reminiscent in a way of the scene in Empire of the Sun when the Japanese are marching into Shanghai.
It's very romantic.
And then you have the partisan army come out, and you know they're very defiantly marching into town, and the partisans come and start mowing them down, and then in pretty short order are eliminated themselves, but not without blooding a few noses. And so you get this sort of might makes right, you know, writ large all over the screen, and it's a striking sense of the good old-fashioned war movie.
Yeah, like Top Another Secret. Scene
that... Top Secret, wow. Another scene from the, I guess it might be from the demo reel, it's the Laughing Boy scene where Bastan is in the gunship and he's firing that heavy artillery weapon. I mean, first thing I thought of was, this is like what you would see the soldiers firing the M60s from the Huey helicopters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlie, don't surf.
Right, exactly.
It was like Tropic Thunder. No.
It's like that movie Top Secret.
Yeah, I imagine that.
Yeah, Gaston is sort of like Gaston, damn it. He's kind of like Chocolate Mousse.
He is. He's exactly like Chocolate Mousse.
But
Vaseline?
Right. It's stuff like that from the demo reel and the trailers that make me realize this: they're at war. This is an actual war that they're fighting. And that's something, I mean, I know we got it in Attack of the Clones. But this really feels like this puts it into front and center that this is a war.
Well, you bring up Attack of the Clones, and I'm glad you did, because you don't care. You have no vested interest, because you have a disposable army waging war against another disposable army. Nobody has a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to settle our differences in a war where we just play video games against each other all day.
Uh-huh.
It's meaningless. This, you're going to give a damn about that, you know. Otherwise, it's like, we can always make more killbots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter. The Trade Federation can stamp out all the droids they want over on Geonosis, and meanwhile, over on Kamino, they're churning out clones wholesale.
Yeah, yeah.
They have the biggest order they've ever had, and they just keep pumping them out.
Well, I mean, that's You said it perfectly. Like when you have they're basically playing foosball.
Brilliant! Oh my god!
Nobody. Yeah, it doesn't matter when you have clones and robots fighting each other.
I have never heard the ridiculousness of that particular conflict articulated brilliantly.
I'm playing off of what you said, so it's a team effort here.
That just hit the nail. They finally sealed the casket on that.
I mean, you guys are absolutely right. You get those top-down scenes. You know, the 100-foot view of just like ping-pong, tong, ting-tong, just like dropping on either side. Like, that's exactly what it's like.
And then you can see the little ball rolling around between them, and every now and again somebody gets in the goal, and... Score! Who cares? So I think there you're just layers of everything that made Star Wars great.
Yeah, for sure.
It's I'm not going to say it, but you know, because it would be ruinous of how I feel about this to invoke anything that sounds at all Trumpy. But they literally, you know, the Star Wars is back. In a big way at Disney, and everybody who pitched a wall-eyed fit is eating their words nowadays.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And not to touch on this too much because we did on the live show, but oh my gosh, are we not ready for some Rogue One toys? I mean, it's well established. Everyone who listens to the show knows good and well, me and Cole are counting down the days just to get a Moroff figure.
Oh, yeah. We got to get our Space Yeti action going on.
But everything else, I'm not even a vehicle collector, but I am seriously considering getting this U-Wing because it's so cool. Because
it's huge. I've seen a picture of a kid holding it. It's big.
when we see the visuals, it's obviously shaped like a U, a U-wing. Yeah. But it wasn't until I saw the demo shots of the toy that I realized that those fold back into a V, and then they fold back all the way behind the cockpit.
Into an eye.
What's that?
Into an eye, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. It goes from a U-wing to a V-wing to an I-wing.
Also, if you orient it just right, it could be a W-wing.
That's true. Okay,
it could be an N. It could be an N-wing if you get one back.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's half a bit there.
Could be a T-wing.
I am going to go on record right now and say I'm going to start collecting Mon Mothma figures.
Well, let me tell you, it's not very expensive.
That's good. That's good. I'm going to need a lot of them. I'm going to need as many as I can get.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's...
Andy's going to special order like a Japanese love doll, you know, life-size love doll that's customized to look like Mon Mothma.
I love the fact that he uses the word gonna. That's cute.
I like the fact he thinks you're just getting one.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
He wants his Mon Mothma menage a trois.
Check Urban Dictionary tomorrow for the definition of the term Mothma pile.
That needs to be your other website along with Bill Fingerbang.
Mothma pile.
Don't encourage him. He's like 5 seconds from now. We own our own
Mothmapile.com.
So we'll have more information about Mothma pile on BillFingerbang.com.
Oh my god!
Hashtag Ranker Pit After Dark. But yes, the thing about it is, I have several hundred, and I'm not exaggerating here, several hundred 3¾-inch scale toys, mostly Star Wars, mostly a lot of Marvel. A number of other
mostly A-team figures.
Well, there were only so many.
Chuck Smith's Karate Commando sprinkled in there.
Chuck Norris and the Karate Commandos. Wow.
and the Warlord figures from LJN.
Mike Grell. Can I get one of those dolls made?
Absolutely. So you know the. Plus, I have
Mike Grell or of the
Mike Mon Mothma and my Mike Grell's Warlord figure together. I don't even have to be there anymore.
And at this point, this is going to sound really dirty, but I have all of the vintage. I now have all of the vintage 12-inch scale figures.
It's the least dirty thing that's happened on this show.
That's so true. And I've got a considerable number of the modern ones. And a lot of DC Direct figures, a lot of other larger. So basically, what I'm getting at is I'm running out of space pretty pronto. And I'm going to have to limit myself considerably because we're going to get a new Star Wars film a year, which means a crap ton of new toys a year. Mm-hmm. And I love the Black Series 6-inch line.
Right.
I don't have room for the Black Series 6-inch line. I don't have room for the damn Jack specific figures, and I've got like a dozen of them.
And I remember, and I'm sure it's on the podcast, so someone go find that episode, where you swore you were not going to get into the Jack specific figures because of
I
space.
Probably did, because early on I had no reason to, and then then they started, a few of them looked kind of cool, and I bought like a Darth Vader, the bigger, like the something like 30-inch tall or something like that.
Yeah, that was the first one I bought, was the 32-inch Big Mother.
But it's like that one. It's like bigger than the main line, but smaller than the super big one. And I found it at Aldi for $15. So, you know, what are you going to do then? You buy the damn thing, and pretty soon you have a crap ton of these things. But at any rate, I'm like, I love the Black Series stuff, but I'm going to have to really limit myself due to space. Yes. I don't have room for the ones I have. I'm constantly having to try to find some new way to display them. And I won't do it Andy style where I just throw them into a pile like cork.
Just because I haven't had time yet.
We haven't exactly given you time by press ganging you into yet another show. But I have to have the K2SO. I've seen pictures. It looks insane.
I'm the same way. I have to limit myself on really what I get. But when it comes to the droids and the creatures, I'm such a sucker for the droids and the creatures and the troopers. Like if anybody has seen my collection, it's like I love collecting the troopers and creatures and the astromechs and everything else that comes along with it. Everyone complains about that blue droid figure that was released with Force Awakens, PZ or whatever his name is.
Oh yeah,
I dig it.
He's like Whiplash droid.
Yeah, Whiplash
droid. It looks like he's wearing one of those big cervical collars he got from his lawyer.
Yes.
You need somebody that'll defend you in case you get into an accident.
Are you a droid who's been in a speeder accident? And other lawyers have told you we don't want your kind here? Well, you come over and you see me. I will defend you. I will get you the top money. I will get you the motor oil you crave.
I will remove your restraining bolts and you...
Don't let the law put a restraining bolt on you.
Nice, nice. I feel a drawing coming on at some point here.
Chop that sucker, didn't we?
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. Well, it's
like, I am the Force.
I think it's safe to say that we're giddy for Space Yeti. We're giddy for George Lucas Mon Calamari. We're giddy for young Mon Mothma, and we're
giddy for speeder bus bench lawyer.
We're giddy for Force Whitaker Eye in our Star Wars universe.
Do you guys think, you know, that first scene in New Hope where Darth Vader comes busting onto Leia's ship and she's there? Do you think in his head he's like, I'm going to force choke myself to this later? Because she was looking good. Do you think that he ever thought that? Or is that just me? Is that just me that maybe thought?
It was just you.
No.
But not anymore.
Never thought of that, but okay.
I don't get to be on Star Wars shows much anymore, so I have these. I think about things sometimes. I'm just saying.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. Believe you me.
And we'll be particularly happy as well in closing that there is an astromech, Imperial astromech that we get to have. Evil R2. Yeah,
it's awesome. Yeah,
they don't get real names; they get nicknames. That's what
EVL1.
No, it's not. Is it really?
No, it's
damn it. I would buy that. I would be so happy.
It is not officially EVL1.
It is now.
It will always be EVL1 to me.
I'm not big on the pop vinyls. I do pick some up every so often. Again, creatures and troopers mostly. But I got to say, the Walmart exclusive Imperial Death Trooper that they're coming out with, it's got that black chrome finish.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm getting that.
I'm going to get me some of that.
Wow.
I'm going to get me some pop vinyl action.
It's so disturbing.
Once you go chrome, you never go home.
Oh! Nice.
And on that note...
Yes, indeed. With that, we'll close out. We want to thank Andy for staying up extra late with us in place.
Oh, yes.
I love you guys. This is fun for me. This is my vacation.
All right. And also, I want to thank Andrew officially on this show. This will be the first new show on the new look of the JCU. And we have Andrew's hard work to thank for that. It looks incredible. I couldn't be happier. It's just going to get better. We're going to be populating the new site. If you go to the archive, you can see everything that was on the old site. That's presently at JediColdUniverse.com. It'll soon be married up with JediCold.com, so either one will get you there.
Also, Bill Fingerbang will direct you directly to that site. So go to BillFingerbang.com.
If you want to go the circuitous route, there is always that. And
I'm totally telling people to go to that site.
BillFingerBang.com. That's BillFingerBang.com. BillFingerBang.com.
Blue drop.
I'm totally working up a logo for that website.
Blue drop. Eddie, my dream, I'm not kidding. Cole and I have discussed this. our dream for the next, we have Bill Fingerbank for a year. If you don't know where Bill Fingerbank came from, find the on the Jedi Cole universe, the Silly Bird issue of the Roguish Eyes story arc. But Cole and I's dream is to literally at some point give that over to you fully to let you defend Bill Finger.
I will gladly go off.
You are free to post content.
My anti Bob Kane.
You are vehement about that.
With this stupid ascot, Mr. Ascot.
I opened a can of worms. I'm sorry.
Wow. Puts the ass in ascot, apparently.
I opened a Bill Fingerbank can of worms there that I wasn't.
Right.
Wow. So.
Roll in his grave.
Lord.
We may or may not be coming to you from the Jedi Cold Universe or from JediCold.com or JediColdUniverse.com, both of which are very quite active now. You can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com if we've ruined your childhood or your adulthood or anything like that. You can look for the Rancor Pit on YouTube, their YouTube channel that Eddie has been peopling or populating for all this time.
Dealing with peoplings.
Peoplings and people peoplings. Stuff. And people yeah. hands. And good night. Wow. and it, all kinds of other stuff. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm Veg. This has been amazing. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Andy. And Eddie.
Well, I do have a couple of things I want to say. One thing and one plug. We have, at this moment, according to the Star Wars app, we have, until the release of Rogue One, 99 days, 20 hours, and 38 minutes, and 27 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this app. But also, I have one quick plug. In just under 48 hours from now,
ooh,
Colleen and I will be recording a new episode of Figments.
Yes! All right.
Figments is coming back. I don't want to reveal what the topic is, but it's one we've been wanting to do since day one, and we
is
figured
it Space Skunk Ape.
Oh, dang it! You gave it away. We will. We're gonna try to record two back-to-back episodes because the episode after that kind of plugs into an upcoming event, and so I don't want to spoil it, but we are getting back into the Figments game very, very soon.
Could not well, have
that is wonderful to hear because we are also the JCU will be picking up a brand new show. I don't want to say anything more about that, but and I'm also going to be trying to get Mrs. Jedi Cole and the Unmountable Bobby Blakey back in the saddle with what'd you think? So we'll be starting to see even more content on the new site.
Yeah.
And Andy and I will be back on Friday with new Hey Kids Comics, all about real life. It'll be our reality show in a way.
Right.
So we're talking about actual people in the industry and brushes with greatness and all kinds of stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
And Eddie and I will be back in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense. And you can check us out on the first and third Sundays of every month over at watchonairlive.com for the Rancor Pit Live, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time, first and third Sundays of every month. Don't you dare miss it.